Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday. The end of May has arrived. Things starting to get back to somewhat normality with a different change in color for our area, but we've got a different change in color analyst today on Sports Saturday.
You're going green, but the Irishman.
Well, we got to thank our finest benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Also open along the St. Clair Port Carbon Highway with drive-through services there. Always open at CACLFCU.org. CACL Financial voted the sixth-time best lending institution in Schuylkill County. It's because you won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. Sports Saturday also brought to you by BG's Value Markets. Four convenient locations to serve you in Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. If their meat was any fresher,
you'd have to slap it.
That's it. And Gears Dairy. Introducing raspberry tea with a diet decaf raspberry on the way for your summer sipping thirst quenching flavors. From Gears Dairy along Tumbling Run Road, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. And good morning, everybody. Well, John, we had a guest lined up, but they really had nothing new to talk about, so they asked to be bumped to next week when they should have a much, 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 much clearer picture on the state of athletics here in the Commonwealth. So it's me and you today, big fella, and you said you were going to trust it to my hands, right?
Yeah. Story of my last 14 years on the air with you.
Are social distancing guidelines in place? As you have been a strong proponent of social distance.
Absolutely. I really didn't have a problem with it with some people.
Put you in social isolation soon?
Yeah, well, we were. You know, it's odd. The last time you and I worked together was in Hershey, Nativity Girls game. And when we spoke to the people there that night, and they talked about, are you guys going to do any more games? I can remember us saying, I don't know, it doesn't look good. And we had already heard that there were schools that were refusing to have games because some of the players were coming from areas where their numbers were up. And this was in the early stages, but they were starting to say, we don't want to take the chance. And sure enough, I guess it was the very next day you gave me a call and said that we were done, that the playoffs were over, that, well, were being discontinued at that point.
Right.
They might have been brought back at a different time. And, of course, that didn't come to fruition, and they lost the entire spring season also. And we talked to Dr. Lombardi before, and when you hear him talk, and I kidded with him, I have great respect for him, and I even told him I respectfully disagree with some things at the PIAA. I thought it was the best move that they made.
And
they
along went the on. Way, you've also been impressed with how he's handled the situation, even after you and Eddie had him on the show, and the steps that were taken after that. You were pretty surprised and
Absolutely.
Impressed with his leadership.
Well, one of the things, and I think this isn't going to surprise anybody who knows me, the most important thing is the health and safety of the participants in our sports. They've changed rules over the years about preparation for sports, safety equipment, and so on. This was absolutely the right thing to do. And they listened to medical experts. That's how they made their decisions. And it is much more complicated than just the game.
You're right. It's you know, there's so many moving parts to the whole scenario. And I mean, you know, you have a statewide agency that's dictating different things to all facets of our life right now. Whether you agree or disagree with the calls that are being made, somebody's making those calls. And for the sports world, as an extension of the state, they're not necessarily a state agency, the PIAA, but it is an extension of the state. And, you know, you're kind of caught in a situation where most people that are those extensions of the state with very little guidance and figure it out for yourself. And, you know, you got to shoot from the hip at all times. And that was part and parcel to what happened for today, because, you know, at some point you're going to stop shooting from the hip. You have to gather as much, because, I mean, even the rules and regulations this week changed by the governor. You know, now all of a sudden, sure, you can have camps, athletic camps. You can have athletic competition. Before, that was not until we're in the phase out. Now all of a sudden it's, yeah, go ahead, but here are the rules now. You've got to make sure you have screenings for everybody there. There's not any fans allowed either inside or outside at these things. But yeah, go ahead and do it. But here's what you got to live by. That just came out.
Exactly. And some of the other things that came out. Now, you said it. It's been in flux very often about how much is transmitted, let's say, with a hard surface, with a softer surface. We know that it spreads by spewing, let's just call it that, whether you're talking, singing, sneezing, whatever it may be. We know that. That's factual. It's the other things, because I read so many things about prep for sports where they were talking about, well, you can throw a football around, but you can't throw it to somebody else. So I guess you have to throw it through a hoop or whatever. They were talking about it in baseball, how often they'd have to change a baseball. Now, some of those things have changed as far as how much can be communicated through those surfaces. But I hear bizarre things. I even heard last week on a show where somebody said, well, why don't they just look? It's mostly old people. Why don't we just tell people 65 and older they can't be out at these events, they can't go anywhere, they can't do this? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Little League baseball, I don't care what sport it is. You take away this 65 and over from all those, I think you're going to have trouble filling, whether it's a Little League stadium, whatever. And their lives do matter. You can't start doing this. The thing that scares me is they're not sure yet with the asymptomatic stuff and whether kids could be carriers, even though they don't have the same number in droves as older people are with problems. So it's all out of abundance of caution.
Yeah. You know, for right now, yes, these things are all wonderful. But is that a necessary part of everybody's daily life? I mean, sure, it's an escape and it's a way to go watch things and entertain yourself. But in the grand scheme of your life, you know.
I think a lot of people are finding that out, Chaz, when they talk about, and I'll switch a little bit here, even when they talk about the reopening of an economy and so on. There are a lot of people that I talk to now are saying, you know, there's a lot of things I realized I didn't need. I didn't need to spend on certain things. I'm not saying that's a reason to open, reopen or not. All I'm saying is the same thing may be true with sports at sometimes. There may be people finding other outlets and spending more time with their own family than they do with others. And, you know, who knows? At the end of the day, we need people healthy to return to any kind of normalcy.
Don't say new normal. I don't like that new normal. Before normal, let's just, you know.
Well, I don't know. Normal for us was, you know, and again,
four nights a week on the road.
Yeah, on the road and being around the greatest people and the greatest kids and greatest fans in the state of Pennsylvania. Doing the Schuylkill League games, T-102 that we did with the football, to do the Potsdam games and see all that in basketball, to go to all these great small communities and see the fervor, the passion they have for sports. That's the toughest part. I got over the winning and losing thing a long time ago, but just to see it, to see these passionate kids doing it for no better reason than to do it. You know, how many people do we have in the pros? Couple. But how many people do we have treasured memories of their, well, and I'll say, go down to CYO, go to high school, go to traveling teams. I don't care where it is. Those are, you know, treasures.
I am so glad you brought this up because you asked me what my plan was today.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm never ready around you, Chaz. I just go with the flow.
I was going to try to work in a JP, this is your life type segment. However, I avoided the dark years, and I'm in.
I didn't want to dig up
so many of your former players or things like that. But, John, in the amount of time that you've spent around sports, broadcasting here, you know, what are some of those highlights from your long and award-winning tenure through all of this? I mean, what are some of
the only trophies I ever won were for long-standing tenure. It wasn't for a lot of winning. You know, Chaz, it's funny you should say that because
I don't just mean coaching. I mean, you know, in broadcasting, what are some of your fondest things that you pull from and say, you know, this was really great stuff? We were talking about it a little bit on the phone. You know, the newspaper, and we talked to Leroy a couple weeks ago, is looking back on different championship teams and individual accomplishments in track and field and all sorts of. But what for you are some of the things you've either coached in, covered? The Charity Bowl? I mean, you had a hand in being a big part of the Senior Charity Bowl in basketball. You know, you've done a lot of things. You sponsor a Little League team at Railway Park. You know, people think JP's is a business. It is. It's just the business you don't want to know. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like all of these things that you've done or seen or called or talked about. You know, what are some of those for you?
Well, let me start because I listened last week to the coach you had on. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, this started when I was young, playing at Railway Park. I had the great honor of playing for coaches in minor league baseball and little league baseball who taught a sport and made me love it. I couldn't even tell you whether we had winning records or not. I don't remember. I remember one year we might have been in playoffs and something. I ended up playing for Sowers Hardware, part of my history now. I married the niece of Sowers Hardware many, many years later, my beautiful bride, Barbara. So that came full circle. But I had coaches at that level who loved the game and taught the game and taught us to enjoy it. There wasn't a practice I ever went to that we didn't laugh and have some fun. After I got to high school, as a sophomore, 1965, Buddy says to me, you want to coach a minor league team at Railway? Yeah, neither of us had a car. We walked from 7th to Market Street, and we practiced where the middle school is right now. Carried the equipment, carried it to Railway Park. Now, here's the crazy thing. That was 1965. I've never left. I coached a minor league for years with Denny McCullough, greatest minor league coach, greatest coach this area ever saw for kids. And coached and then got out of coaching, and I became an umpire. Ended up being the head umpire for many years. And then at a meeting one night, they said, we need a new sponsor. Let's go out and see if we can't find somebody. And I said, I'll sponsor a minor league team. So that was, wow, Chaz, that's got to be 30 years. So they became JPs. And I still do that. So that was my introduction to sports. And then eventually played at Nativity for a little bit, basketball. Played at Schuylkill campus in basketball. Then I got to come back to the area. Teach and coach at Pottsville. And I was, you want to talk about a big change in my life? I say this all the time. The greatest thing that ever happened to me, as far as putting sports in perspective, was I took the girls' varsity basketball team after coaching the boys for many years. Took the girls' job. And those girls, over the 5 years I was coaching there, changed my whole outlook on life and on sports because they played for the sheer enjoyment of it. I tell a great story. The first year, I was coming from boys basketball. They had lost 21 games in a row the year before I took them. We lost a game, I think it might have been up at Lourdes, early in my first season, a game that I thought we should have won. And we're coming home on the bus, and it was a tough loss, and all of a sudden, the girls all started singing. They were singing on the bus. That was unheard of when you're coaching boys. You had to sit and chew on a piece of old beef jerky that was rotten because you had to live and die with the loss and don't talk and So of course we're coming down, and Bobby Umbenauer was my assistant, and I said to the bus driver, slow down a little bit. I stood up, I said, girls, we just lost the game. We're lost the game and you're singing? You're singing on the bus? And they looked up, they had never had a guy coach. One of the girls said, Coach, if we don't sing, does that mean we won the game then?
Nope.
Yeah. Kids are the best teachers in the world. I sat down, Umby looked at me like, why did you even talk? And all of a sudden I realized that. My 5 years with those girls, I never enjoyed sports as much as I did ever. And you know what they did? They changed my outlook, because it wasn't the wins and losses. It simply wasn't. I appreciated the game for what it was. It's a game. But I will also say it's one of the reasons I left. Because at one point, we were not winning. Maybe I was having too much. I love going to practice. I hated going to games. I hated it. It became so in your face. You know, friends of mine that went in to coach of girls, I'd see them at a game. I'd walk over and I'd go, hey, how's the family? Hey, how are you guys doing this year? Man, I'm on a lot of pressure at my place. How are you guys doing? I'd look and I'd go, I've seen you scout in our games. You know more about my kids than I do. How's your family? They didn't want to talk about that. Boop. So I owe my change in life to those young ladies that I coached over those 5 years. So after that, I got involved with the charity ball. That was terrific. We changed it. If you're looking for big changes, I could give you some changes here. It used to be every team used to have, they had to have a player. You had to have a senior player on the team. And I know he won't mind me using his name. But one year, Danny Conville was a senior at Pottsville. And I was at the meeting. He made the team. I went to school that Monday, and I said, Danny, come here. Congratulations. Great kid. And he said, what's up, JP? And I said, Dan, you're going to play in the charity ball. You were selected from Pottsville. And he looked at me and he said, quote, boy, that's great, JP. He said, but I'm not an all-star. They used to call it an all-star game. He went, I'm not an all-star. And I went, Danny, it's a big, he said, I know. It's nice, but he said, yeah, it's an all-star game. I went back the next year, and we changed it to the Senior Charity Bowl Classic. Not an all-star game for a while, and then we switched it a little bit after, and we chose an all-star team. And when you made that team, and you might have four kids from one team on that team, it was an all-star team. So that changed over the years. Now, if you don't, you still try to get as many players if you can from each individual team. And that was a big deal. That was fun. They were fun nights because kids didn't have to listen to their coaches. They just went out and played. You know,
right.
It was raw talent. They had fun.
Lately it's turned into a dunkathon.
It turned into a dunkathon, a shootathon. I remember, I think it was Billy Bedson. We put the 3-point rule in, 3-point shot for the all-star game. Before it was going to go in regular next year, and a kid from Pottsville, Billy Benson, I think hit the first one in an all-star game. Place went crazy when they put the three up. The rest of it evolved. I became a broadcaster by accident. Our good friend and mentor, Les Blankenhorn, I was a girls' coach. I was at a boys' game. He leaned out at Martz Hall, yelled down to me, JP, could you come up here? Went up, I sat down, He put headphones on me and looked at me and counted down with his fingers. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Potsdam Basketball. This is Les Blankenhorn. I'm here tonight joined with John Powers, JP, the girls' basketball coach. I didn't even know I was going to be on. That was my introduction. I hung around for a couple years. The venerable Chris Knapp was having some problems with his health. Filled in for him for a while. And then after that, Les asked me to go on full-time with him. I became the basketball guy, a red-headed swimmer by the name of Ned Hanford became the football guy. He's still swimming. I don't even know if he can swim, but he's a great swimmer.
I've seen him jump in.
I've seen you jump in, and we're not going there. Jumping in is not swimming. But anyway, and the rest is history. I was fortunate to be with Les till his retirement, came along with you, and that has worked out great. We're not only broadcast partners, we're best friends now, and our families, which is good. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of twisted my arm to do the T-102 football. I never felt I was savvy enough in football, but with your expertise, it made it easy being an analyst. And now it's all part of my life. And no matter where I go, and I'm sure you've had this, I'll be talking to people in different areas of the county, and sometimes they'll close their eyes, and then they'll go, oh, no, wait a minute, you're the guy on the radio. It's a big responsibility, but it's a big honor, and I think you know this. I speak from my heart. It's kept me around kids. Mm-hmm. The most intelligent age group in this country is still kids. If we gave this whole country to a group of fifth graders, we wouldn't be in many of the troubles we're in right now. They'd work it out. I want to be around those kids the rest of my life. And PPA, T-102, RGN, the bosses let me do that.
Well, that's true. And, you know, it's a long, winding journey that a lot of people don't know. But, you know, I want to discuss about some of the things in your coverage of sports, some of the things that stick out. But before we get to that, we need to take a time out.
Let's rock and roll.
So we'll take a little bit of a break here. We'll come back, and I want to hear some of the greatest things that you can recall from covering sports with or without this guy involved. So we'll be back on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM around the world at WPPARadio.com. And don't forget to check out the podcast. Anchor.fm is our host, but we can also be found on Google, Spotify, and Apple.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in and out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
In the race for state representative, it's the question everyone is asking. Why would career politicians Teresa Gaffney and Christy Joy attack soldier and political outsider Joe Kerwin? Is it to hide the fact that according to public documents, taxpayers have paid Gaffney and Joy over $950,000? Or maybe it's to hide the fact that both were registered Democrats when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were running for president. On Tuesday, reject career politicians Teresa Gaffney and Christy Joy.
Paid for by friends of Joe Kerwin. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Make Gears a name you invite into your home every day. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, always committed to excellence.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday with
This Is Your Life, JP. Now, John, you've covered broadcasting for almost as many years as I have. Now, what are some of the highlights from your broadcasting career?
Well, one of them was working with you, Larry.
Really? Now, we still work together.
We're going to get Merle Reese in here and Bernie Forgotch in a minute. But, you know, some of that. Let me get one out of the way. When people talk about best athletes, that always turns into quite a conversation. And I always say, I'm only going to talk about athletes I actually saw, high school. Because people say, well, what about somebody from Pottsville from 1942? I didn't see him play. I can look at statistics and look, but I got to tell you, boy, this will cause some people it'll pucker their anus, but the best all-round high school athlete I ever saw was Dave Dalenick from St. Clair. Three sport, he just did it all. Did it all. That's up for argument out there, but, you know, that's where I am. Some of the highlights. Let's do a quick Pottsville highlight from a number of years ago that you and I did the game when Pottsville was playing for the district championship down at Blue Mountain against a super powerful Allentown Central Catholic team.
Oh, this is a don't start the buzzing.
Yeah, and Nick Slitzer, who went on to great fame at other levels, was ill, played in the game, but wasn't feeling well. We had Pottsville had an outsized big guy by the name of Eric Leimeister, who certainly wasn't that big, but I remember saying he had the heart of a lion. And Central was dusting us down there at Blue Mountain. Mm-hmm. They were pressuring, they were running the ball, and our kids looked like they were getting gassed. And all of a sudden, they just got fired up. Fired up to the point where late in the game, as their coach sat with his head in his hands, as these kids came back and just pulled off the biggest upset ever, watching them win that, and yeah, it became famous because I said, I just have one line for Central Catholic tonight, and I said it on the air. And it was, warm up the bus, baby. You're only taking silver back to Allentown. That was a great night. That was one of the best individual games I ever saw. When you talk to football, now we've only had 3 years, but I look and the highlights of my football can simply be stated in watching Tamaqua's run this year. Those kids, outsized, outnumbered, out-athleticized, if there is such a thing, just touched my heart for kids who did it the right way, showed a lot of class, you know, ended up losing a toughie near the end of the year. But I'll tell you, along the way, and Sam Bonner is now, he ranks with one of the finest gentlemen and coaches I ever met. And I wouldn't have had that chance if I wouldn't have done the football. I look back at other things I saw, even though they didn't involve Pottsville. I used to keep the book for the state games when they had them. And I had the great honor of seeing some of the great players from the state of Pennsylvania play at Martz Hall, whether I was keeping the book or not. You know, it's hard not to talk about Kobe. It's hard not to talk about McNamara and to see what they did in those days. Another one, and it was just in, Dave Sakina. You know, they forget the track and field sometime. I remember getting the story of when he won. I wasn't there, but when he won the gold medal in the javelin years ago, first time since Bill Taylor way back, and that was exciting. Even though I wasn't there, I thought it stamped us. Chris Knappholz, that's an easy one. He came through minor league. He played against our teams in minor league. People often ask me, how good was he in minor league? And I said, well, I think he pitched a four-hitter. And somebody said to me, a four-hitter? What's the big deal about Chris Knappholz pitching a four-hitter? I said, that was in 14 games. He gave up four hits. It was a four-hitter for the season, I think. I mean, he was so far ahead of his time. And then to watch him blossom in high school, in college, and I had the honor, great honor, of seeing him pitch his first game for Montreal in Philly. When he came to Philly, went down to the game and tried to sneak into the lower section. Because as a teacher, I only had $2 tickets. But anyway, I snuck down pregame while they were warming up, just watching. And finally, of course, the security guy came over and he went, do you have a ticket for down here? No. He said, well, I said, that young man played minor league baseball in our league. I said, he went to our high school. And the guy went, and what do you do? I said, I teach at the high school. Come on down. He let me go right out in the field. He said, go out, let somebody take some pictures for you and stuff. What an honor, and what a great career Chris had. And I think as an individual, watching him from that very young age, you know, 8, 9 years old, to what he became in the majors, that he stands out in my mind big time. Mm-hmm. Big time. And now, and you know this, I can't do this without saying this. The toughest thing in my broadcasting sports career was Jaden going down. You and I did that game because it was Pottsville and North Schuylkill. It was Honor the Band night.
Senior night
mm-hmm. for the band. So exciting. I have never been gripped with as much sorrow as I was that night. But I will also say this. I was never so proud to be from Schuylkill County from that point on, with the way that they responded to that young man and the strength he continues to show as he comes back. But I got to believe, if anybody ever played back the segment of when it happened and when we were on the air, Chaz, unashamedly, I was so emotional. But being the Irishman that I was, I also was going to go out and kick some guy's butt in the stands for griping, let's get the game going again. I hope he's listening. Someday I hope I meet him. But those are some of those highlights. Mm-hmm. But nothing matches the girls I taught. And that has nothing to do with records or anything else. It was about perspective in my life, their life, and what it truly means to be a part of a family and play sports.
Right. I think, you know, when you take a look at that overall experience and you saying how the girls are what changed your life and records didn't matter. I mean, you were coaching at a point in time where the girls' coaches became just elevated girls' basketball in our area. I mean,
they're all in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Ron Wren, LaFay Hope, Elsie Tolan. I mean,
keep it up, buddy. Keep it up, buddy. Father Mako, you want to keep going down the line? The Tamaqua championship teams, the North Schuylkill championship teams, the Nativity championship team. I really picked a great time to get into coaching. The good part there is I saw some fantastic kids play there. You know, people jump out my mind. Lori Pisco from Minersville was one of the best female athletes I ever saw. And that was a good part of it. But, yeah, I didn't pick the best time to get involved with girls basketball, but it did evolve. I remember when I took the girls' very first practice. My first line to them was, ladies, we are not going to play girls basketball. We are not. I used to hear that term. Oh, it's girls basketball. Like it was different. And I said, we're playing basketball. And my first team, I would say offensively, was not the best, but people feared when we played them because that's how hard they played defense. And that was different for me because I played and I never played defense. I was a gunner. But they put their hearts and soul into playing defense, and we were rough and tough. And I think I was a little tiny part of that in the change into just playing basketball, that it wasn't any different. No such thing as
girls basketball.
Well, I
guess when girls basketball started, they had different rules than what the boys were playing on.
Oh, yeah. There were rovers. One person could go one end to the other. There were people who couldn't cross midcourt. There were people who couldn't cross midcourt in the old game, and they wore uniforms that almost looked like dresses. It was very different. It was a very different game. Now, I know a couple overweight guys who would have loved that if they only would have had to stay on one end of the court.
Sign me up.
You know? But, I get into coaching, and I had the great joy. I had Bob Umbenhauer as an assistant, unpaid, great guy. Joanne Conrad at the time, Joanne. And Mike Keener and Kenny Fry, who were taking care of the young program. Bill Moran helped there. They established what the program became. Didn't depend on one person. It depended on a lot of people and what they did.
Well, you know, it's inspirational. Kind of like you talked about Martin Rooney last week and the inspiration. It's inspirational to hear the different perspective from you that people don't know. I mean, yeah, they know you're that powers on the radio, you know, and those kind of things. And, you know, to hear the different things that you've seen or been through or participated in or, you know, helped to maintain, continue, I think it goes a long way. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, that's where I felt we would be today.
Well, you know,
and I'm lucky to have you as a partner. I'm going to tell you, you make me look good because without you...
I don't set the bar high, buddy.
Well, that's good. I don't mean visually, but, you know, as far as what we're broadcasting, you know, I rely on you. But you tell me I'm not allowed to keep any numbers. So
I love it. I'm your computer. You know, it's odd, Chaz, and you and I have talked about so many of these different things over the years in our travels about kids, about teams, about songs. And when I heard Rooney last week talk about, you know, the day of the just dead-out tough guy is gone. It's not acceptable anymore. And I'm going to share a story. I won't use a name. But, again, going back to the girls, I had coached boys. And I was one of those guys. You stepped out of line, you got it. I mean, you were, boom, in the face. Boom, everything was maniacal. And unfortunately, I carried a little bit of that over with me when I took over the girls. And I had a fantastic young lady who played. And I made the critical mistake of getting in her face. And I think I destroyed her that day. And she left. Now, I will give this young lady credit. She came back the next year, tried out, and I kept her on the team. But because of family circumstances, she couldn't stay on. That was another changing part of my life. I think she would have had a great career playing basketball. And I took it from her because I was a jerk. I was a jerk. I thought it was more important to get in the face, you know, you got to do this, forget all the rest, forget, they are kids, they have feelings. And I think it's great that coaching has evolved to the point you don't forget that you're dealing with children and that they do have feelings and, you know, they're not cupcakes, and you know, or sheep, or what. They're human beings, and they deserve to be treated that way. And again, I give her credit for me being a better person as a coach. Maybe not wins and losses. I became a better person as a coach because of my experience with that young lady. And I'm proud to say she's killing it now as an educator. You know? But that young lady changed my life. I hope she's listening, because I'm not going to use her name, but she knows.
Well, she might not be listening, but she'll hear it in the podcast form, because I'm going to direct her there. But we're going to take another time out, our final one of the show here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back. We'll finish things up for this Saturday morning, end of May, and we'll get moving to the Saturday Morning Oldies Show at 10 o'clock. You're listening to WPPA Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, around the world at WPPARadio.com. Don't forget that podcast. Anchor.fm is our host site. We're also found on Apple, Google, Spotify, and other fine podcast retail outlets near you.
Attention, Schuylkill County. Now more than ever, it's critical to buy local and to vote local. In Tuesday's election, Republican Teresa Gaffney is our local candidate for state representative in the 125th District. But Dauphin County lawyer Joe Kerwin is trying to buy the election and take away a seat that's been in Schuylkill County hands for 50 years. We can't let that happen. So stand up for Schuylkill County by supporting our native daughter, Teresa Gaffney, for state representative.
Hello, this is Teresa Gaffney. We must elect a fighter and a proven leader for state representative. I went toe-to-toe with Barack Obama and liberal special interests while many others hid in the grass. You can rest assured that I will never back down from Governor Tom Wolf, and I will never stop working for you or our Republican priorities. It is time to eliminate property tax, put term limits on career politicians, and end pay-to-play politics. Let's get to work. Paid for by Teresa Gaffney for state rep.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, with easy in and out drive through banking and a state of the art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville, and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Tim Twardzik is the Republicans' best chance in over 50 years to win back the 123rd Legislative District. He's 100% pro-life, committed to defending life at all stages, born and unborn. As a member of the NRA, Tim is a strong supporter of Second Amendment liberties. He's a proven business and community leader. It's Tim Twardzik who is committed to ending and replacing school property taxes with a simpler, fairer system, and holding absentee landlords accountable for blight and neglect. A tax-fighting, pro-family, and economic conservative who knows the best way to create jobs is to let free people get back to work. On June 2nd, let's put a conservative Republican to work in the 123rd, Tim Twardzik. Conservative, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. That's Tim Twardzik for state representative.
Paid for by Neighbors for Tim 2020, tim2020.org.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Chaz Hepler, JP this morning. John, what are you going to do if it comes out that you can't watch Alabama Crimson Tide football? How are you going to handle your fall season without Nick Saban?
Interesting question. You know, I don't live and die with the winning and losing part of it, but I love it. I love the pageantry, I love the whole program and stuff. It's all of that. You know, you start to get into it because now you hear Big Ten teams. Yeah, yeah, Michigan saying, no, we don't have kids here. Nobody's playing football. Personally, I agree with that. There would be no college football without college classes, even though a lot of kids don't go to class. I mean, that's, you know, depending on what conference you're in. But the SEC is saying we're playing. We're playing. Yeah. And it's going to create some nightmares. You know me, I'm more concerned about the return of high school football and so on. That will be a dagger. That will be a dagger. It's disheartening if things change dramatically again, because I'm at the point of, and I did, I took a hiatus from here. I told you that at my age, advanced age, as you often remind me. My wife and I had just decided we were going to be that much more careful. We are. That's a personal choice. I really don't care if you get somebody like from north of the mountain, maybe Shenandoah or something, wants to go around and get infected, or Ditt or Monash City or Higgins. I don't care. But please don't look at me funny because I don't go to a game when the time comes, or if I wear a mask. We do have to get back to some kind of normal. And that's going to mean, hopefully, that this thing starts to dissipate. Let's put it that way. If they can prove that, and I could go to a game and not be afraid of infecting other people, then I'm gone.
Right. I'm wondering, you know, in the fall, are we going to be the vehicle of which people can pick up and participate in high school athletics? Is it going to be, you know, yeah, you guys can come in and broadcast, but it's going to be an empty stadium? You know, when you look at, you know, the soccer league in Germany, they're pumping crowd noise in with cardboard cutouts of just random people in the stadiums. NASCAR has returned. Some of the media members are allowed in. Like, I believe it's one television reporter is allowed in.
Wow.
One newspaper reporter is allowed in, and then that they kind of provide the old style of pool reporting where their story from the print is the one that goes out across the country, and you have to apply, and it's usually one of the local newspapers allowed in to NASCAR right now. So it'll be interesting. You have to put a bid in and this stuff. It'll be interesting to see when Pocono comes at the end of June what newspaper outlet is selected to be the reporter at the NASCAR race. Because, you know, when you watch a television broadcast, the play-by-play Mike Joy, the analyst is Jeff Gordon. They are in a studio in Charlotte, North Carolina, with all these video feeds from the track in order to do their job. There is a pit reporter who they've rotated through, who their pit reporter is each night, who is the person that is actually at the track doing the interviews. And then they'll do reports from what's going on in the pits during the race. So there's been a lot of outside-the-box moving parts to how they get this done. So it'll be interesting when we return. We have two media outlets in-house. Of course, WPPA would cover all of the Pottsville games. And then where we go, I have a schedule that's a wish list that I could share with you to show you. Hopefully, with a return. I mean, we're hoping for a return with the football guide. But I'm wondering, is that going to be part and parcel to it all, depending on where this whole deal is at when we get there?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about, because I'm reading a lot, Major League Baseball, hockey, football. So they are very different entities. Now, you take racing, unless there's like some blow up and two guys get out of a car and decide to go at it. They are separated. They're in their own cars. But when you get into football, I saw something about hockey where they were talking about, well, not as much as a body checking and so on. That's a big part of the game in hockey. It's not just pure skating. Football, obviously. Baseball, you're going to have some dust-ups and so on. Basketball is constant. They're the sports that I think are going to be that much more difficult. Could you have football games in the fall? in high school where perhaps you and I would be up in a booth, plexiglass in between us, as we're doing our broadcast, maybe, who knows, but you have all these kids on the field at each other, but you don't have anybody in the stands. That would be a very strange feeling if they find a way to be able to do that. The crowd is a big part of it. Let's be honest, man. All you got to do is go to Williams Valley for one game in your life and understand what passion is, what zeal is, what real team, family, community spirit is. It's there from when you walk in and you buy your 50-50 ticket and could walk out a multimillionaire or whatever. That's the great pageantry of all sports. All of sports. Or go to a playoff game at Geigel or Martz. It is the crowd. It's the excitement. And many players today, I think some overdo it, they play to that crowd. Not crazy all the time when they're giving the three and holding their shirts or doing the boogaloo because they tackle somebody. But people pay to see that. And they respond to the crowds. You know, when they start, defense. Mrs. Gaffney comes to mind in my career at Pottsville. Defense. That's a big part of it. I don't know the passion they'll have for it if you're not physically there.
Right.
I don't know.
It's going to certainly be very interesting to see what's in place for when we get this thing started again. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, Penn State, as far as, you know, their plans, I know part of the plan will be announced to the students prior to June 15th, they were told. I know my cohort, who's normally with me on a Saturday, is helping kids gather their belongings out of their dorm finally. And, you know, but there's been talks of coming back 2 weeks early as students. I know the football program has talked. I'm not sure if before you go or after you get there, there's a mandatory 14-day self-quarantine for the players before they come back. So they know that, you know, here it is. Here's the proof. I was self-quarantined 14 days, you know, to ensure that they're healthy, in shape, and then bang, they will resume. But, you know, these are some of the steps individually teams have taken at the college level. The high school level, we know that the governor said this can go, but everybody has to be pre-screened, players, coaches, and stuff like that. You know, are we going to have to go through checkpoints now?
Good point.
In, you know?
Chaz, I had to go to the eye doctor last week. It just a flare-up. But I really had to jump through a lot of hoops. Spoke with them 3 times before I went. When I got there, sat in a car. I had Barb's cell phone. They had to call me on the cell phone to make sure I was still okay.
Maybe it's time to get your own.
No. And in I go, I walk in, and there's a hazmat team waiting for me. You know, I'm not making light of it. There's a hazmat team. Everybody duked up with their personal protection stuff. I get my temperature taken and so on. Sanitizer. I go in. Girl leads me down the hall. Same thing. She's all in all this stuff. I mean, that's what it is. Now, that's me with a doctor and 2 nurses. What happens when you have at a local football game 3,000 people standing outside waiting to get in? Will they have to go through the same thing? Questioning. A quick temperature check or something. This isn't an easy change. That's why I look at Dr. Lombardi. He's hearing from everybody. And it's just like reopening an economy. Reopening sports means a lot to people. He's in that position now. Safety and health come first.
And I think the bigger point to it, should things go that direction, people are going to have to maintain a sense of order and acceptance and just go with it. Don't create problems for those people that are just trying to ensure that things are going off without a hitch. You know, and I think that's important. The bigger piece to it. Don't stand in line complain because, oh, I mean, you know, I'm waiting to get in, and oh, now they want to take my temperature, and you know, relax with it all, and just go with the flow, as they say.
Yeah, and if you know that's occurring, and it's going to anger you, I know this is going to be difficult for some people to understand. Don't go. Don't go. If they say, hey, if you come here, we're going to take your temperature, we're going to ask you a couple questions, we're going to ask you to go in two people at a time. If you're not prepared to do that, don't go. Don't cause a scene. Mm-hmm. Just don't go, because hopefully it reopens and you won't have to go through that someday. But got to get through the rough spots first.
Well, John, we're out of time this morning here on Sports Saturday.
Well, thank you
for taking us for a tour through the eyes. That is not a crack. I know I'm going to pay for that later, of JP. But let's thank our financial benefactors like CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're always open online at CACLFCU.org. Six-time voted the number one lending institution in the area. Why is it? Because you won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. BG's Value Markets, four convenient locations to serve you in Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. It's grilling season, and that's where you'll find the freshest meats. If it was any fresher,
have to slop it.
Amen. And also Gears Dairy, the launch of the raspberry iced tea, and soon in a diet decaf version. It's coming to us soon from Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Don't forget the full line of milk products, tea products, fruit products, along with that orange juice. Gears Dairy, along the Tumbling Run Road